Everybody to Criticalize podcast, Leadership with New Horizons. My name is Mark Barber, Director of Content for Criticalize, and we'll be looking at the outlook for senior leaders over the coming year. And to talk us through this, I have Matthew Blagg, CEO of Criticalize. Happy New Year, Matthew. How are you?
Happy New Year, Mark. I'm incredibly well. I love New Year. It's a new start, and it's an exciting time of the year, I always think. So great to be here, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. And Happy New Year to all of you as well listening. I hope you've had a good break and, like Matthew said, ready for what promises to be an interesting year. Okay, so we're going to have a look at some of the key themes that we think will be important for CEOs and senior leaders across the coming 12 months. We know that the customer experience is a huge issue for companies as they're starting to gauge changing behaviours and expectations. And the employee experience as well is going to be interesting for companies because of the whole hybrid working model. I came across an interesting stat, which said that 5% of employees in the UK worked from home. This time last year, that rose to 65% in March of last year. And I guess the interesting thing for CEOs and companies at the moment is what's going to stick and what was just simply a response to the crisis. And I think there are a lot of dilemmas there. Matthew, if I could come to you, what would be some of your sort of views on where leadership teams need to be sort of focused and what will be on their minds over the coming 12 months?
Well, as we start the year, I've got one word that I think is going to be key for everyone this year, and that's movement. We've had a year where there's been a lack of it, and I think we're coming towards a point when there'll be release and there'll be a massive amount of movement. And I think that, what do I mean by that? I think that across the landscape, yes, individuals are going to move more, but actually organizations are going to have to move faster. I think if individuals, leaders thought last year was exhausting, I think this year will be exhausting from a different perspective, because I think that the expectations from customers is going to be very high this year. I think that the hybrid elements of movement and people where they are and where they're based and org structures is going to become more and more powerful. And the capability of the leadership team to shift and move at a pace, I think, is going to be the single determinator of your success this year.
Yeah, I think the term that keeps being mentioned is organizational agility. And that it makes absolute sense, doesn't it? Because you've got your customer changing, your workforce changing, and in the middle there, you've got your leadership team trying to work through that. And the answers aren't necessarily clear, but there is an understanding that you have to be faster. And like you say, I think that's going to create quite a lot of pressure over the year. I've been looking at our CEO research, which has been released. And there's a section in there, which I do urge, if you're listening, to look at this research, because it's fascinating. But we've got like the top five priorities for CEOs over the year. Number one is navigating COVID-19. Number two is retaining key talent and developing skills. Now that's been the top priority for the past 4 years. The new one, number three, is sustainability. Then we have another new one that's come in, which is C-suite succession, including the CEO. And then number five is innovation. I'd like to get your thoughts on some of those findings, Matthew, because for me, there are some surprises in there.
Well, I don't think there's necessarily surprises in there. I think that to a certain extent, number one being COVID is because these are from this year, not looking forward.
Yeah,
and my general view is sort of that this year ahead will be much more about that rhythm of getting back into the right rhythm, and for most organisations and leadership teams, I think that's going to be a real challenge. How do you bring people together? Where do you bring people together? That pace. I think everyone thinks that last year was difficult. I think the year ahead from a leadership perspective will be extremely hard. And I think that's highlighted with the the other findings. I think that the people agenda is massive at the moment.
Yeah.
And that's across the board, both in terms of the leadership capability, but then the empowerment and alignment. And we've seen that over the course of the last 12 months, massive growth in the focus on purpose and the alignment of purpose. And I think that then links to the sustainability component that is coming through. That then is also brought to the surface because governments are going to need growth, and growth generally comes from regulation. And I think you will see increasing regulatory drive that will push sustainability agenda. And so I think for organizations, I mean, there was a great quote from a large global CEO that I had a couple of weeks ago, that effectively, if you're waiting for those things to happen, it's too slow. You've got to be ahead of the market. And I think that's where progressive organizations now are building the models for 5-10 years. And those models will now be reaping real returns as the world starts shifting faster in these areas.
Yeah, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised to see sustainability come in there, because that's always sort of been 6-7, even lower. And I think there is, it's been in our discussions in some of the retreats we've held. There's a realization that the sustainability agenda has to feature into your strategy. It has to be intertwined, interlinked, and informing it. And you're seeing that investor sentiment change, aren't you? I mean, there's been the Net Zero Asset Managers Initiative, where 30 money managers with $9 trillion of assets have come together and committed to net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. And there's just force and energy behind it, isn't there? No pun intended.
But I think you've got the alignment of these three things. You've got the alignment now of capital increasingly leaning into initiatives that are climate oriented, and so that's significant. You've got governments recognizing that actually, you know, in an environment where their coffers are quite small, they've got to back the future, and so they need new industries. So that'll accelerate change. And then from an employee perspective, that focus on purpose, and, you know, that central element of we've had this year of why do we exist, which I think has been common globally, you know, creates a massive momentum towards change. So I think we're at the beginning of a wave, and I think that it's really exciting to see how that's going to come through. And I think, again, organizations that are able to realize and realign themselves are just going to have a really exciting 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, I liked that example of the CEO who said that he'd done a lot of work on purpose within the organization. This was in financial services, and you made sure at the sort of end of every board meeting, the purpose was reiterated to make sure that the discussions were in line with that. And I think when you're getting that kind of consistency of message coming through, it's going to lead to some positive changes in behaviour. So again, the sustainability issue factors into innovation, I think, as well. But clearly, there's a lot of transformation that's underway. C-suite succession touches on a point that you've raised in previous podcasts, but again, this finding here where it's coming as the number four priority sort of backs it up. There is, and it touches on your point of movement. The leadership capability is being looked at, isn't it? And there are some CEOs that maybe aren't necessarily right for that next stage that businesses are moving into.
Well, I think the leadership piece is let's use the word fluid. I mean, I don't think in all the years I've been running Critical Eye, I've seen more change in so many different ways. And I think it exposes, it's a bit like when the sea goes out and you see what's really on the beach. I think that we're at that point. And what you can see globally is interesting paradigms now, because I think some of the really high growth businesses, i.e. tech and pharma, were actually, I think that there is a real demand for execution capability. And They've got massive competency skills that are linked to the new world. But actually, that operational execution piece, I think, will become increasingly challenging at the level and scale that they are. And then conversely, you've got traditional organizations who probably have done relatively well, where I think actually the need to bring in new skills is going to be really essential. And so I think, you know, those two paradigms are going on and they're significant. And coupled with that, I think that this year in terms of 2020 has been an opportunity for everyone to reassess what their purpose is individually. And I think for a number of leaders, that's going to make them really question whether they're as committed as they were before to the pressures that come with it. Conversely, I think there's a massive amount of talent that's pushing through. And so those things will combine over the course of 2021.
It has been a real opportunity for people to step up and show, like you say, that next sort of generation of leaders have sort of come to the fore, haven't they? I think it's time to give them a chance and give them more responsibility and opportunity to grow.
Well, I think you're seeing that come through in lots of regards. You are seeing already. You have seen at the end of 2020 quite a significant amount of CEO change.
Yeah,
and you are going to see that accelerate, and that feeds down then into the organization. And the reality is, though, that, you know, you're within those environments, that the competencies and skills of bringing people up, they're going to need a huge amount of support, because, you know, we're coming into a really complex environment where the pace is so strong, where the stakeholder elements are going to be really hard. And so what you're also seeing, and obviously we saw last year, a massive need for external access, for the right degree of mentoring support, and really being able to benchmark with new leaders and giving them the opportunity to learn from people who have that experience. So it's a really interesting environment from a leadership perspective, 2021.
Just thinking across the different pressures on the C-suite, from the HRD perspective, what particular pressures do you see them being under? Because I think they're increasingly more visible in this kind of environment, and I would think especially so over the coming year.
I think that the reality is the people agenda was, you know, hugely important in 2020, and I think it will be even more important in 2021 as the complexities sort of wash through, as every organisation tries to work out what the right rhythm is, what the right relationship is between the companies and its people. And so I think that the HRD role is massive. And their role to ensure that there's alignment across the executive team and with the board is huge. And I think that's the pressure point that we're going to come to for the HR director this year, is I think there'll be more conflict around those areas. And so alignment between particularly the HR director and the CEO is going to be essential.
Yeah.
And that breaks down, I think it's going to be very, very hard, because the scrutiny that leaders are under is going to be far greater this year. As people move around, as options grow, leaders will be under more pressure. And so it'd be really interesting to see great leadership teams will thrive. Where that alignment isn't right, it's going to really be difficult for the organization to perform.
When you say options grow, I'm curious if you could build on that, because I think that's the tension that a lot of companies have, because you've got your, like in where we are in the UK, still in the pandemic, but there is an understanding that it's going to open up and you're going to have to shift. You're going to have to move fast with that. Is that what you mean by looking at your options there?
Well, I think one of the realities is, if you talk to leaders, actually, there's a greater demand for talent in their organization than ever before, because in some ways this is exposed that you need people who are able to lead in an agile environment where there is fluidity, where there is challenge. And as such, there's a premium for that. So you've got this really ironic, contradictory environment where in some ways there's higher and higher unemployment, but actually skill and leadership gaps. And so I think that everyone's going to be looking for the same talent. And so the point we being with that, that alignment with your talent is going to be so key, because otherwise there will be lots of opportunities out there. And so that making sure that you really have that clarity of purpose. And I think that bit is going to be really important, that it's genuine. Because in some ways this year past, in 2020, people have been forgiven on certain aspects because it was so much reacting to an emergency. Whereas actually now that's gone. And I think it's really important that CEOs have left that behind. Just because you did things last year doesn't mean to say you have a right this year. And I think for leaders, it's really important that they've got that progressive culture coming through in 2021 and they don't revert back to what they did last year.
Yeah, it's almost, and again, I don't want to underestimate what's happening at the moment with the pandemic and the suffering that's undergoing. But it's for a lot of businesses, it's looking at, okay, so what's the next stage? We've got to invest in technology. We've got to digitize. What does the future look like? I wonder if if there's a bit of, you had the digital dash, if you want to call it that. There's also going to be an element of it's still going to be moving fast. It's still going to be very intense. But I think there's going to be a case where you've got to get your strategy right this year. And there was a lot of, it was interesting last year where the strategy wasn't changing, but company boards were saying, no, we're happy with where we are. That doesn't stand up for me. And I think that's where the conversation needs to be probably at the moment, is to say, well, what if our operating model's changed, if our customers changed, if our workforce changed, what's our strategy? And maybe that's a conversation that needs to be had.
Well, and I think also you've potentially got an environment where we could well be in an inflationary environment. And again, real pressure on profit delivery next year would be my view. And I think so, because in some ways you've had a distorted market in 2020. Lots of sectors that were annihilated. Those sectors will come back and the spend in those areas will come back. And so, you know, you've then got the consumer amount, you know, the sort of consumer spend, and how will that be spread? And conversely, you've got governments looking at supply chains because it's exposed some of the gaps. So I think that we should be preparing ourselves for inflation. And I think, again, that comes then down to the other side of that, is making sure that you really do have a simple business. And I think, again, that's simplification, which, you know, as 2020 carried on across Critical Eye, that word got stronger and stronger. And I think that now that is so important, that you're really clear and that you can invest in the right things. And if you can't, then I think you will see divestment. And you will see much faster business split ups and breakdowns over the next 12 months.
Yeah, absolutely. Organizational agility, let's just come back to that. It's from the CEO research, it's the number one challenge for CEOs. And it can mean different things to different people, right? So in your mind, what does organizational agility mean?
Well, in some ways, I think that it's that simplification bit to mean that we can go faster, but not to the expense of your brain. And I think that bit's the really important bit, you know, to simplify, but end up having no competency means you can't take advantage of anything. I think it's the opposite. I think that you're decluttering and you're reducing the volume to mean that you can push forward, but that can be more dynamic. And for me, it's that combination of simplification and dynamism of the business skill and the culture that is so very important. And if you can unlock that's when it gets really exciting. And there are obviously points when having a big balance sheet and a big organization's key, but I think with the current environment we're in, really being clear about why we exist and what our purpose is and making sure that everything lines up underneath it just is going to be so key to be really agile.
Yeah, it's customer, isn't it? It's purpose, which is, if you like, you've got the purpose right, then you've got the workforce in the right place with the right culture to deliver to the customer. And then I think the other big, the big sort of issue is just fast decision making, again, to be able to move at the speed that your customer's moving at. Now, that's we're not going to pretend that that's new, right? We've talked about that for a long time. But maybe companies have not necessarily addressed it in the way that they need to. I think now they understand that they've got to get it right. They can't have this oil tanker mentality. They've got to be speedboats, right? And if they don't, then you're in trouble.
Well, I think it's going to put real pressure on the boards in the next 12 months, because, again, I think as that need to move faster and the expectation to move faster, I think does mean that you've got to have to be able to invest faster in the business. And I think conversely, the governance and risk elements are so prevalent in terms of the audit process and the governance processes. It's going to be hard to get that balance right between those two things. And again, the organizations that get that balance right, I think, will massively outperform, particularly when we're looking at the large global scale businesses.
Yeah, and heavily regulated industries as well. I mean, again, not to underestimate the challenge. It's like you don't suddenly just become a speedboat because you've got huge responsibilities and liabilities. But I think there's still this understanding that it's got to move quicker, and how you create that speed is almost the big challenge.
Well, and I think that what you have seen over the last 9 months or so, 12 months, you know, a lot of things have been done virtually, and that's quite transactional. I think there's a massive need for more time invested in deeper delve strategy. I think executives coming together is massively important. I mean, it's no coincidence that we're bringing all of our retreats back in person this year, because the demand in our across critical eye to be able to reflect and come together and to have a safe space is just so important. And I think that's so true of boards. And I think I was talking literally yesterday to CEO of a business, and that board is still virtual and it's very transactional. And again, I think that boards need to be much more integrated in the business going forward. And I think in order to really take advantage of the world as it's changing, you've got to have more exposure than reports. And I think that piece is going to be so important over the next 12 months.
Are you seeing that as a problem for execs? They are too inward looking in this environment?
I think that by its very nature, when you're in a tight execution phase and you know, the stress of 2020, executives are going to be head down and executing. Actually, even more so in some of the big growth areas, because in some ways you stay busy. I think this environment, it's going to be more fluid. And that movement, I think, is going to be key. And external benchmarking is going to be massively important, not only in terms of framing your own thinking, but also influencing your stakeholders. I think you've got to have reference points that go beyond data sets. And I think, you know, it's really important that leadership teams have that balanced benchmark, because I think there's going to be more 50-50 calls next year than probably any year since I've been running Critical Eye. I think that your data sets are going to point to sort of a lot of gray. And so leaders have got to be bold, and they've got to be able to really push into that and make strong decisions. Now, I think within that, you really do need external context benchmarking access.
Okay. So again, just to build on that point, in among boards, then in your view, that they are being too, and again, not to generalise, not saying every board, but there is just a little bit too much transactional dialogue going on. You're not stepping back, and you know what we hear, the healthy board, the good board, that we know boards are stretched at the best of times, but you're not getting that ability to step back and go, what's the broader perspective here that we need to be looking at?
I think that the important message I would leave, you know, with any board member is that you've got to look at things from today, not with last year's baggage. So if you landed today in your organisation, you would be coming together personally and you'd be driving things. And I think that those boards that are able to bring that forward agenda and demonstrate that culturally to the organisation they're in, I think will be in a massively stronger place than those that take time to get there.
Okay.
And there's no question, if there is a lot of change required from a leadership perspective, that same change is needed at the boardroom. And so, again, it's important that non-executives who are on boards where the pace is wrong have their voice heard. You know, that's why Minutes exists. I think it is going to be needed to be visible. I think you are going to get more challenged. The role of the chairman, the chair, is so key at the moment. And it's vitally important that you have a strong chair if you're on a board. And I think from a CEO, CFO chair alignment, you've got to have that in the right place. If not, you have to have change. And I think the stakeholder environment will agitate for change. And I think it'll be very uncomfortable for boards that don't front that out. And so I think, yes, we're coming into a really interesting point where I think there will be quite a high degree of change. There will be a high degree of CEO and executive change, but I also feel confident that non-executives and chairs need to up their game substantially in a faster-paced environment.
Okay, okay. I'm conscious of time. I mean, the new title for this series for 2021 is Leadership with New Horizons. What's your New Year message, Matthew, for leaders? Well, I suppose from a sort of more upbeat note, what would you say to them?
Well, luckily enough, I was born as a positive soul.
And, were you?
Yes, I was, but with a healthy sprinkling of realism. So there's no question this next year is exciting. I mean, it's just going to be a ride. You know, if you think last year was brutal, I think this next year is going to be brutal in a different way, because if you get it right, it's going to be really exciting. You've got to fast start, move people quicker, get in front of everything, enjoy it, set your brakes up, book your holidays in, because if you get tired, it's going to be terrible. And my one bit of advice for everyone is, whatever you did last year, and the reality is if you listen to this, you've probably done reasonably well. Don't carry that into this year. You have no right in leadership. You know, it's how you carry on evolving. And I think there's a danger that people take the experience from last year and just roll that forward and think they have a right to lead this year. You don't have a right to lead. You have to evolve. You have to change. So my big thing to leave everyone is, really look at yourself in the mirror and think, how are you going to get better? How are you going to improve? What are you going to do differently? What are you going to take from the learnings of last year to enhance your skills? And what are you going to leave behind? Because you can't take more on. So it's usually more important to think about what you're not going to do. And from leaders' perspective, it's usually dropping down. So my one big advice is, lead more, do less.
Fantastic. Matthew Black, thank you for that. And thank you to everyone for listening. I did mention that CEO research. Do take a look at it, and please do get in touch if you have any questions. And we'll be releasing our next podcast on Leadership with New Horizons within the next couple of weeks. But take care, and we'll speak to you soon.
Take care.
Bye.